Nicole Berman Solo fell in love with the Japanese artisanal food culture while she was there studying business. Her logical follow-up? Come back to New York City and open Kyo Tofu, a Japanese-inspired dessert bar and restaurant. Now, this is a bit tricky since Japan's sweets have little resemblance to ours. So Melissa Clark talked with Nicole about how an American interprets the very different sweets of Japan.
Hello, Nicole. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
So, Nicole, are you making traditional Japanese sweets?
Well, when you say traditional Japanese sweets, I think what comes to mind is wagashi, which is traditional kind of beautiful, exquisite sweets that went with the tea ceremony. So now we're kind of going back hundreds and hundreds of years. And if you fast forward to today, Japanese sweets kind of run the gamut of course, there's still that wagashi, but then you'll find green tea cheesecake and Western desserts. And so I think we're kind of at the crossroads between using some traditional ingredients and components, and then, kind of doing our own thing with Japanese ingredients.
And so what are some of the ingredients that you're using in your sweets?
We use things like miso, which is fermented soy paste. We use things like matcha, which is green tea, genmai, which is toasted brown rice, yuzu, which is a Japanese winter citrus, which is really delicious. And then, of course, we use a lot of soy, you know, tofu, soy milk, things like that.
You know, I've had miso soup and it's a very savory flavor. How do you use that in a dessert?
Miso is great. It's one of my favorite ingredients of all time. And the reason that I like it so much is because, yes, it's salty and it can be used as a salt replacer, but it has all kinds of interesting flavor dimensions to it. It has the umami. It has this kind of butteriness, a little bit of nuttiness. And so when you add it to something that goes well with something kind of salty and savory, like, say, chocolate or caramel, miso just adds this whole other dimension that you don't get with just straight salt.
I know in your book you have a recipe for miso brownies.
Oh, those are our number one bestsellers, hands down, the last 10 years, those miso brownies.
And can you use any color miso in them, or do you have to use white miso only?
I really like white miso, just, you know, not the not that kind of, like, mellower yellow miso and not the darker red miso. And the color, by the way, it not only comes from what's been fermented, but also how long it's been fermenting. And kind of like your most basic miso is like miso that you find in miso soup is just just a regular white miso.
And what about, you mentioned matcha and you mentioned the green tea ceremony. So matcha is a very traditional Japanese ingredient, but you're also using it in newer ways?
Yeah, so matcha is a really, really very interesting ingredient. It's basically the best, nicest green tea leaves with all the kind of undesirable parts, the stems and things picked out by hand and then ground by a stone grinder. And it was historically used in the tea ceremony. It's the bitterness of matcha was supposed to remind us of the bitterness of life. And interestingly enough, matcha is always paired with a small sweet, a wagashi, to kind of balance out the bitterness of the matcha. So, you know, there's this history in Japan going back of matcha and sweets. And so, you know, fast forward to today, and you can find everything under the sun made with matcha: matcha pudding, matcha cheesecake, matcha muffins, matcha cookies. And we've kind of followed suit with that. And I would point anyone to our green tea creme brulee recipe, which was one of the most popular items on our menu.
And what about soy, tofu, and soy milk? How are you using them?
You know, soy is, it's gotten a bad rap lately in the U.S., but it's such an amazing and versatile and vitamin-rich ingredient. And there are so many different things you can do with it, from the most basic, using soy milk and tofu in things like puddings and cheesecakes and things like that, to using okara, which is the skins and the pulp of the soybean, in things like muffins and cookies as an egg replacer. It's just, there's many, many wonderful things you can do to, you know, take down the fat content, increase the protein and fiber content. And I think that utilizing things like soy and tofu lends a little bit of a it's a little bit lighter than using like traditional dairy milk or butter.
You tell people to make their own soy milk in your book. Is that hard to do?
It's actually not. You just simply soak soybeans. I always recommend Japanese soybeans. They've always been non-GMO. They're absolutely beautiful. And you can get them in Japanese grocery stores or online. You soak them overnight, wash them, boil them, grind them down with a food processor or an immersion blender, and then use cheesecloth to strain out the okara that I mentioned, the pulp and the skins, and then you're left with the okara and you're left with soy milk.
That's great. So you get two things. You get the okara and you use those in muffins, and then you get the soy milk and you can use that in pudding or wherever else you'd use
soy milk. Sure. Yeah, all kinds of things. And then you can take it a step further and use the soy milk to make tofu.
We always think of tofu as being primarily a savory ingredient, but what do you do with it in sweets?
There's lots of uses for tofu in sweets, from just simply flavoring the sweet tofu to make almost like a healthier panna cotta, to using it as an ingredient in cheesecakes and custards and things like that. So it's super versatile. And you're probably familiar, there are lots of different kinds of tofu depending upon the water content. So there's silken tofu, which has a very high water content, all the way up to very firm, which has had water drained out of it. And they all have different culinary applications.
And so for you, you use the softer one for more pudding-like things?
Well,
is that
generally? Well, sure, because we're doing a lot of, like I said, cheesecakes, custards, puddings. And so we do make our own silken tofu, and then we use that as an ingredient.
And you also mentioned yuzu. Now, fresh yuzus
you
here?
You cannot. Okay. I think a while back, somewhere in California, a few farms tried to actually plant yuzu and grow it fresh here, but after a few seasons, it didn't work. And you can't import fresh fruit from Japan. So no, you can't get fresh yuzu, but you can buy straight juice. You can buy rind. And if you're lucky, every once in a while, I can find like the frozen fresh rind, which is kind of cool.
And what about genmai? What's that?
Genmai is another really great ingredient. It is toasted brown rice. It's typically used as a tea. So the toasted brown rice kernels or grains, you would say, are kind of chunked up a little bit and sometimes combined with green tea leaves, sometimes not, and then brewed as a tea. And what we've done is taken just the brown rice grains, the toasted brown rice grains, ground them down a little bit, and they make a great ingredient in shortbread cookies and chocolates, you know, anywhere that you want to add both kind of a roasty, toasty flavor and also some texture, because they have a great crunchy texture.
Nicole, these are such great ideas. I cannot wait to try them. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Melissa.
Nicole Vermonsolo is author of Kyo Tofu, Uniquely Delicious Japanese Desserts. Melissa Clark is a food columnist for the New York Times and author of Cook This Now. Now, Nicole left us with two recipes to try: dark chocolate brownies with miso and her chocolate souffle cupcakes. You can find them at splendidtable.org.